بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة وقال جل جلاله وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال جل جلاله فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن من خياركم أحسنكم أخلاقا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected علماء اكرام Respected elders and brothers Indeed the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala The blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us are innumerable. Every second of our life, every moment of our life, we are recipients of the great bounties, the great favors and boons of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا If a person has to count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him, a person will go on counting and counting and that list will never come to an end. And as we have heard on many, many occasions, the greatest favor, the greatest bounty that Allah Ta'ala has blessed you and I with is this ni'mat, is the bounty of this deen of Islam, this religion of Islam. And a person can understand the magnitude of this favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that inna Allah azza wa jal yu'ti dunya limay yuhibbu wa man la yuhib. That when it comes to the worldly wealth, the things of this world, the gains of this world, Allah Ta'ala gives it to the one he likes and even the one who he dislikes. So a person being wealthy, being well off, is not necessarily a sign that Allah Ta'ala loves this person. What? But inna Allah yu'ti din limay yuhib. But when it comes to this deen of Islam, when it comes to Iman, then Allah Ta'ala only gives Iman, only gives Islam to the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. فَمَنْ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ الدِّينَ فَقَدْ أَحَبَّهُ So that person who has been bestowed with the deen of Islam, the deen which Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ Allah Ta'ala says, this deen is kamil, this religion of Islam is perfect. Allah Jalla Jalalu says, I say it is perfect. And I am happy with this deen. So that person, Allah Ta'ala bestows him with the deen of Islam, this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person. So my dear brothers, Allah's greatest favor upon us is this ni'mat, is this bounty of Islam. And the beauty of Islam, unlike other religions of the world, is that it is not merely a religion, something which teaches us how to behave in the masjid, or how to behave in Makkah or Medina, but rather in our deen we find complete and wholesome teachings for every aspect, every facet of our lives. So be it the important issues or the not so important issues, be it the big issues or the smaller issues, be it the important issues or the mundane issues, be it the day-to-day activities or those things that happen not so often, we find that our religion, our deen, has some sort of guideline, some sort of guidance in this regard. I mean, which other religion of the world teaches you that if you are walking on a pathway and you find a thorn or some sort of harmful object on the pathway, picking it up is not only your moral duty, but you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. On an occasion, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is walking along. A mushrik, a disbeliever, he now addresses him, trying to pick fun, trying to mock at Salman Farsi and his deen. He says, لَقَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلَّ شَيْنْ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَ O Salman, your Nabi is teaching you everything. He's even teaching you how to go to the toilet, as if you did not know how to go to the toilet before this. So Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person, study his life, a person who had gone through various religions. He was a Majusi, he was a fire worshipper, he was a Christian, he was a Jew, and finally Allah Ta'ala guided him to the light of Islam. So he understood what is the value of these teachings of Islam. So he was not shy to tell the person that yes, our Nabi has taught us everything, he even taught us how to go to the toilet. When we go to the toilet, we should be doing certain things and not doing certain things. So this deen of Islam is absolutely complete. And this is what makes our religion, our Islam, stand head and shoulders above other religions. When Abu Hassan Nadwi rahmatullah alayh, the prolific writer and historian, he says a person has to study and look closely at the religions just prior to the advent of Islam, prior to the sending of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He takes all the major religions of the world and he does an analysis of them. And he says, the long and short of it, he says that these religions were reduced to nothing more than customs and certain rituals. And he says even some religions had the element of racism in them. And these religions had very little or nothing to offer to mankind and humanity. And it was at this time and in this atmosphere that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with this perfect and beautiful deen of Islam with profound teachings. And because of the large number of teachings of Quran and Sunnah, the ulama, may Allah ta'ala reward them, they have taken the teachings of Islam and they have categorized them and put them into different categories. For example, they have categorized certain teachings as the teachings of ibadat, those teachings which pertain to a person's acts of worship, acts of devotion. So his salah, when he should be praying salah, when he cannot pray salah, how many rakats of salah to pray, his zakah, his hajj, his fasting, the rest of it. Then you have the aspects of mu'amalat, people's business transactions. So which kind of transaction in Islam are legal, which kinds of transactions are illegal. And likewise, the teachings of mu'asharat, our social dealings. That what is the duty of a child towards his parents, and what is the duty of the parents towards his child, what is the duty of a wife towards her husband, and the duty of a husband towards his wife, and the rest of it. Another teaching is the teaching of akhlaqiyat, our morals, our character, our attitude. And one of the greatest mistakes and the greatest downfalls of the ummah today, my dear brothers, is that we have sectionalized our deen. Sectionalized our deen. We've only taken certain things to be important and other things as unimportant. We've only showed regard for certain things and we have totally disregarded other things. So a person many times feels that, mashallah, I am in the first saf of the masjid for every salah, which alhamdulillah is a very, very great thing. May Allah give us all the tawfiq, a very, very great thing. But he feels that I'm in the front saf of the masjid, I'm reading all my salah, every now and then I'm going for umrah, I'm giving my zakat. But I am a good Muslim. Even though his business dealings may be in shambles, but he feels I'm a good Muslim. And many times you hear a person who is saying, you know, I might not be a namazi, I might not perform a namaz, but one thing is when I give my word to a person, I keep to my word. Alhamdulillah, that is a very, very good character to have. But this is only bits and parts of deen. Allah Ta'ala does not expect of us, and Allah does not want of us deen in bits and parts. Rather, udkhulu fi silmi kafa, Allah Ta'ala says, I want deen from you in entirety. I want you to act on all the teachings of deen. And one branch of deen, unfortunately, which we have showed total disregard to, and we have taken as unimportant, but is very, very important, is the issue of akhlaqiyat, our morals, our behavior, our attitude, our character. Just as Islam has stressed upon us the importance of salah, has stressed upon us the importance of zakat, fasting, hajj, charity, and the rest of it, Islam has also stressed upon us the issue of having good character, having good akhlaq. For a person to read his 5 daily salah, a very, very great thing, but is relatively easier compared to a person at every juncture, at every moment, being good to people, being kind to people, smiling at people, not hurting the feelings of people. There is Allah's Nabi said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُكُمْ خُلُقًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. That the person who has the greatest level of iman, the person who has the perfect level of iman, is not the person who is in the front saf of the masjid, or the person who is going for umrah every now and then, but rather it is the person with the best akhlaq. And we hear this word akhlaq very, very often. Akhlaq, good character. What does it really mean? So ulama have given various interpretations, various explanations for the word akhlaq. Basically what it means is, we as believers, as Muslims and mu'minun, every single one of us are on a journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there are those who have gone far ahead in this journey, and there are people like myself who are lagging behind. But as a person gets closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person amongst the qualities that he now develops in him are two qualities. One thing increases in him, and one thing decreases in him. One thing increases in him, and one thing decreases in him. The thing that decreases in him is his ego, is his the sense of self-importance. So now a person does not feel much of himself. And as a result of this, the person worries very little or does not worry about others' opinions about him. We know we have the giant of the past, in India, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. He is, on one occasion, his spiritual mentor, his spiritual preceptor, Maulana Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah, writes a letter to him. Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah, himself a giant, a person who passed away in Makkah Mukarramah, and he's buried in the very same graveyard where our mother Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is buried. So he writes to his murid, to his disciple, that, "Oh Rashid Ahmad, I have not heard from you for a long time. I have not received any correspondence from you for a long time. Tell me, what is your spiritual state? What is this level of your spirituality?" So Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah receives this letter. And he replies to his sheikh. And this reply really pleased his sheikh. He says, "Hazrat, I haven't got much to say about my spiritual state. But what I can say is that I do not feel myself as important. And people's opinion about me means nothing whatsoever. So a person praising me means nothing to me. A person blaming me, a person running me down means absolutely nothing to me." So as a person develops and he gets closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his ego decreases, his sense of self-importance decreases, and he worries very little about himself. I'm not saying a person should not take care of himself. Rather, a person has to look after his health, look after his body, but do not feel yourself as important. And the thing that increases in a person is his sensitivity towards others, his awareness towards others, that the people around me, those around me, in no way whatsoever, neither through my words nor my actions, must any person in any way be harmed, must any person suffer any sort of inconvenience. In fact, I have to go out of my way. I have to go out of my way to see to the comfort of others and make sure that they are not inconvenienced. On one occasion, Hazrat Badini Rahmatullah Ali, Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Badini Rahmatullah Ali was traveling in a train. And on the train, near him, there was a Hindu person who was sitting. So he noticed this Hindu person is uncomfortable. He's waking up, going towards the back part of the carriage and coming very quickly returning. So Hazrat Rahmatullah sensed that something's not right here. This person is in a state of distress. So Hazrat Rahmatullah said, perhaps he needs to use the toilet. So he goes to the toilet and files in the toilet in not a very good state. So Hazrat Mani Rahmatullah Ali, a great muhaddith, a person who had the opportunity of teaching Hadith Sharif in Masjidun Nabawi, an opportunity not given to every person. In Masjidun Nabawi, he would teach Hadith. So he gets down on his knees. And with his hands, he neatens up and cleans up the toilet. And then he goes back to this Hindu person and tells him, perhaps you wanted to use the toilet. The toilet is now being cleaned up. If you want, you can now use the toilet. The Hindu person goes, uses the toilet, and realizes that the person who cleaned up the toilet was none other than Maulana himself. And he immediately comes to Maulana, and now he's just interested in accepting Islam. So my dear brothers, this issue of seeing to the comfort of other people and making sure that nobody suffers any sort of inconvenience on my part. Even if that person is unfair to me, even if that person is unkind to me, by you being good to a person who is good to you, then this is not necessarily good akhlaq. You are merely repaying him for the favor. But rather, even when a person is not good to you, for you to be good to him, and to wish well for him, and to see to his comfort, and not want him to harm him, this is also akhlaq. It is mentioned about Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh that one morning he was sitting in the courtyard of his home in early part of the morning making his ibadah, his tahajjud, his dhikr, when a thief now scales the wall of his home. He was sitting where he could observe this thief. The thief could not see him. So the thief goes around the house of Malik bin Dinar looking for something to steal. Malik bin Dinar being ascetic, a zahid, he didn't have much to offer with regards to worldly things. So the person realized nothing much for me to get from this home. So now he begins to leave and is jumping the wall again. So Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi addresses this person. He says, "Oh my brother, you came looking for dunya. Unfortunately, I do not have much dunya to offer you. But can I offer you akhirah? Can I offer you akhirah?" And he says, "Come and sit down." And this person is amazed that I came into this home to bring loss to this person. But this person is now wishing well for me. And Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah begins to advise this person. And he speaks to him. And he's taken aback by the akhlaq of this person. And this person makes istighfar and tawbah and he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time for fajr comes And Malik bin Dinar walks out from his home with this thief, a well-renowned thief. So the people were amazed that Malik bin Dinar, the sage of the time, and the biggest thief coming out of the home together. So they asked Malik bin Dinar, what has happened here? He says, جَاءَ لِيَسْرِقَنَا فَسْرَقْنَا قَلْبَهُ. This person came to steal from us, but we ended up stealing his heart. But we ended up stealing his heart through the akhlaq of Malik bin Dinar. So my dear brother, this, a person not to be worried about himself, not to be worried about his ego, his self-importance, but rather make other people important. To make see to the comfort, the feelings of other people, this is good akhlaq. So a person who comes to a masjid, or he goes to the shopping mall, where the parking bays are clearly marked, and a person parks in such a way where he inconveniences others, then that means this person needs to work on his akhlaq. Or a person who comes to the masjid, and he reads his nafil or sunnah salah in such a place, which inconvenience others, then this person needs to refine his akhlaq. And a person is driving on the road. And yes, we are not perfect, we are not infallible, we can make mistakes. At a time, a person maybe by mistake, he cuts across somebody, in front of somebody on the road, or he nearly knocked into somebody, and that person hoots at him at that time, that this person become upset, or does he become unapologetic at that time? If a person at that time becomes angered, he becomes enraged, then that means this person needs to refine and work on his akhlaq. And my dear brothers, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as he stressed upon us the importance of salah, of zakah, of hajj, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also stressed upon us the teachings of akhlaq, how to be a good Muslim. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that inna min khiyarikum ahsanukum akhlaqa. The best amongst you is not the person who reads the most nafil namaz or the person who keeps the most nafil sawm fast, but rather the best amongst you is that person who has the best akhlaq. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person, you have a person who the entire day is fasting and the entire night he spends in nafil namaz and devotion before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How close and how beloved this person will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, you have a person who might not do too many nafil ibadat, but this person has good akhlaq. The second person is on par with the first person. He's also beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, the person who I love the most, the person who Muhammad loves the most, and the person who will be closest to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam day of Qiyamah will be that person who in this world had the best akhlaq. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, the thing that will weigh most in favor of a believer, in the scales of a believer, will be the good akhlaq, the good character of a person. Allah's Nabi was asked, oh Allah's Nabi, what are the qualities that will become the main reasons to admit people into Jannah? Allah's Nabi said two things. Taqwa Allah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa husnul khuluq. And for a person to have good akhlaq, for a person to have good character. Allah's Nabi said, Ana dhaminun bi bayt, ana za'imun bi baytin fi rabdil jannah, liman taraka al mira wa in kana muhiqqan. That I, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stand guarantee and surety for a home in the outskirts of Jannah. For that person who will drop an argument, leave out an argument, even though he may be right. You know, many times we hear people saying, that is my haq and I will fight for my haq. Yes, a person has every right to fight for his haq. But our deen has also taught us, my dear brothers, that sometimes let it go. Let it go. Allah's Nabi has promised us, let it go and I guarantee you a home in the outskirts of Jannah. وَبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْكَذِبَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَازِحًا. And I guarantee a home in the middle part of Jannah for that person who leaves out lying even though at the time of joking. وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خُلُقًا. And I guarantee a house in the highest part of Jannah for that person who has good akhlaq. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only express to us through his words the importance of akhlaq, but rather through his actions, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us that what is good akhlaq. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Allah's Nabi said, I've been sent into this world to show to the people what is it really to have good akhlaq. What really is good akhlaq? One person, Sa'd ibn Hisham, rahmatullah alayhi, comes to our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he tells her, oh my mother, tell me about the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala replies, Alasta taqra'ul Qur'an? Do you recite Qur'an? He says, yes, I recite Qur'an. She says, kana khuluqa nabiyyillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Qur'an. The akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Qur'an. Ulama give two explanations to this words of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. One explanation is she was referring to the ayat of Quran where Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. O Allah's Nabi, your character is sublime. Another meaning is that she meant that in Quran we find good qualities, good aspects of akhlaq, be it forgiveness, be it patience, be it wishing well for others, and all these good acts of akhlaq. She meant that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all these good qualities mentioned in Quran, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had this in his life. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala who says that I for 10 solid years I was the khadim of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the attendant of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is you interact with a person for a few minutes, maybe you will make a judgment about the person. But stay with a person for a long period of time and you will come to know the true color of that person. Anas says for 10 years, day and night, on safar, on journey at back in Medina Munawwara, I was the attendant of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I never met a person with better akhlaq than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was never an instance in 10 years that once Allah's Nabi even said a harsh word to me. And if perchance I did something that was not up to the liking of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi never asked me why did I do it. And if I was supposed to do something which I didn't end up doing, Allah's Nabi never ever asked me why did I not do it. And he also mentioned that never in my life have I felt silk smoother, any silk smoother than the palm of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And never in my life have I smelt any fragrance sweeter than the sweat, the perspiration of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a sahabi named Muawiyah bin Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had just recently accepted Islam. So one day he was in the Masjid Nabawi performing salah. And whilst in salah, a person sneezed. So this Muawiyah bin Hakim in salah said, Yarhamukallah, may Allah have mercy upon you. So the sahaba began to stare at this person. You know, so he's talking in salah. They began to stare at this person. So when he saw them staring at him, instead of backing off, he began to speak up again, that what is the matter with you? Why are you all staring at me? So sahaba began to hit their thighs in salah to try to quiet down this person. And then he says, when Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam completed the salah, fa abi huwa ummi, may my mother and father be sacrificed for him. Wallahi, never in my life have I seen a teacher like him, and never in my life will I ever see a teacher like him. Ma kaharani, wala darabani, wala shatamani. Allah's Nabi didn't rebuke me. He didn't scold me. He didn't hit me. He didn't swear me. Only thing he told me, oh Muawiyah, this salah, we are not supposed to be talking in salah. Salah is meant to have a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers, many times we hear this statement by the Orientalists and other people that Islam spread by the sword. If by this they mean the territory and the lands of Islam spread by the sword, then we do not have an issue with this here. Because this is the case in all other dynasties and empires of the world. Every dynasty, every empire that spread in the world spread by force, by people fighting and the warriors going out and fighting and claiming that land. But if they mean by this that the number of Muslims and people accepted Islam because they were forced to accept Islam, they were forced to accept Islam, then this is a fallacy and nothing can be further from the truth. Rather, the only reason why people accepted Islam was because of the akhlaq displayed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and because of the akhlaq displayed by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. There was a Jew by the name of Zayd ibn Su'na. He came once to Nabi sallallahu, Allah's Nabi sallam took a loan from this person. And after taking a loan from this person, they had set a date when the loan will be repaid. Before that time, this person comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And very harshly, he addresses Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, oh Muhammad, give me my rights. He grabs Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the collar. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is standing there. His eyes are turning in his head. He cannot stand to see what he's seeing. He tells Allah's Nabi, give me the opportunity and I will strike the head of this kafir. Allah's Nabi says, oh Umar, take it easy. Inna li sahibil haqqi maqala. Every person who has a right has the right to speak. Oh Umar, take him to the public treasury and please repay to him what is due to him. So Zayd bin Su'na now going with Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He tells him that, oh Umar, I didn't come here to harass Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, I wanted to test the levels of his tolerance. What akhlaq does he have in him?
And now I have seen the akhlaq of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there and they recites the kalima and becomes a Muslim. So Islam was not spread by the sword. Time is Ramadan, there are many, many other instances to show that people accepted Islam because of the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the akhlaq of Sahaba. My dear brothers, you know, they say history repeats itself. In Allah's Nabi, for the first maybe 18 years of his prophethood, there was nothing but hostility between the believers and the disbelievers. But then after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed, there was a lull in the hostilities between the believers and disbelievers. And at that time, the disbelievers saw Islam in a different light. And it was during this period where there was arms were put down, the period of the treaty and the pact, that many, many prominent people accepted Islam. The likes of Khalid ibn Walid, the likes of Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, prominent people accepted Islam. Because now they have opportunity to see Islam in a different light. Likewise, my dear brothers, in the last few years, Islam in the media has been portrayed only in a negative light. And only has been nothing but propaganda against Islam and the Muslims. But we are all fully aware of the events, the sickening events that unfolded last week in New Zealand. And as a result of this, Allah Ta'ala brings khair for the believers, good for the believers in every adversity. It was a trying time, it's a difficult time, it's a sad time. But from that now, the people around the world are looking at Muslims and looking at Islam with a different eye. And it's at this time, my dear brothers, more than ever before, that we Muslims have to put our best foot forward and show only the best akhlaq, show the best character. And inshallah, this will become a means of people entering the deen of Islam. Allah give us understanding.